Wow, well done, guys. That's awesome. I usually sit at the front. My name's Damien, by the way, if you haven't met me before. I'm the pastor of Hope Church, and I usually sit somewhere around the front on a Sunday morning because I'm usually involved in leading the service. But today, because other people were leading, I sat at the back next to my mum and dad, and I just watched as everybody worshipped, and this place was just so full of joy this morning. And religion can't do that. Religion can't do that. It's a changed heart that is that thankful to God for what's happened. So just want to thank God for Easter morning and for the resurrection. He is risen. I want to be brief this morning, so I'm not going to open up with a big introduction. Just to say that I was reading the Bible this week, and I came across a verse which just made me curious. Has anyone ever read the Bible and they read a verse that they've always read before, but this time it's kind of, I wonder what that means. So this is the verse up here on the screen as well. In Acts 17, verse 18, it says, Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. I love Jesus. Jesus is the most amazing person that I have ever met. I went round somebody's house this week because they wanted to know a little bit more about Christianity. And I said, listen, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not selling you Christianity. My job is to introduce you to the most amazing person who has ever lived. And that's Jesus. So I completely understand why preaching about Jesus was good news, because Jesus is good news. But why is the resurrection such good news? And that's the question that I want to try and answer today. First of all, when you read through the book of Acts, which is one of the most action-packed books in the whole of the Bible, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the other apostles, they're always talking about Jesus coming back from the dead. So we know that on Good Friday he was hanging on the cross. We know that he laid down his life for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, that he was laid in a tomb and then 3 days later came back to life again. And they go around all over the world preaching the same message. So in Acts 2, verse 23, we see that Peter said this, you put Jesus on the cross. He's talking to the Jews here. You put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. And then in Acts 3, a little bit later on, somewhere else, he says, you, talking to the Jews again, you disowned the holy and the righteous one. You asked that a murderer, Barabbas, be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And a little bit later on, he says, know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed before you today. And later on, Peter says, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And on, the apostles have this one message of good news that Jesus was raised from the dead. But why? Why is it such good news? Well, the first reason I believe the resurrection is such good news is because it brings us forgiveness from our past. You know, somebody said to me recently, if I had cancer, whether I realized I had cancer or not, I would need a doctor. And some of us don't even realize that we need forgiveness, but the biggest need every single one of us has is for forgiveness. And that's what Jesus did when he hung upon the cross on Good Friday. Listen to this verse. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If for only this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. And basically what the apostle is saying there is he's saying, listen, Jesus died on the cross, but if he had just died on the cross and if he had just stayed in the tomb, he would have just been another famous man. He would have just been another religious founder. But the fact that Jesus came back from the dead was something significant and something different. And it proved to everybody that he was who he says he was. He was the Son of God. He was God in human form. The only one qualified to be a savior who could take away our sins. And it says if Christ had stayed in the tomb, if he hadn't been raised to life, we would still be in our sins. Think of it like this. If one of you here had a deadly disease and, God forbid, it led to you dying, if somebody came along and took the disease out of your body, you would still be dead. And so what needed to happen is that the person's disease needed to be taken out of their body, and then that person needed to be raised to life. And that's what Jesus did on Good Friday. He took the disease of sin out of the equation, and on Easter Sunday, he brought life and life in all of its fullness as he was raised from the dead. I think of it like this. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, it's like somebody had stolen treasure from the kingdom. And the king finally got the treasure back as he hung on the cross. But Easter Sunday was when he took the treasure and he started to give it out to everybody. And so if it wasn't for Easter Sunday, if Jesus hadn't come back from the dead, the forgiveness of sins that Jesus purchased for us on the cross would have made no difference. It's only the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead that the forgiveness of sins can be applied to our lives. And I don't know if you're here today and you feel ashamed because of something that's happened. You know that you've done wrong. You know that you're a sinner. And you know that you need forgiveness. And some people here today have given their lives to Jesus and received the free gift of forgiveness of sins. But for others here today, I want you to know that the shame of sin and the stain of those things that we regret that fill our hearts can be completely forgiven and wiped clean. When we come to Jesus, he is the all-sufficient Savior. As he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." The second reason I believe the resurrection is good news is because it doesn't just give us forgiveness from the past, it gives us power for the present. In Ephesians 1, from verse 18, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart," he's talking to Christians here, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the incomparably great power that is for us who believe." Do you know today, if you're a Christian, you have a power that is incomparable. There's no power like it. You can't get a job title and have that power. You can't even be president of the United States and have that power. This power is incomparable. And he goes on to say, that power is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, the same power that raised him out of the grave can live in us. And I want to say to you today, not only can you have your past forgiven, but you can have power to live the kind of life that God wants you to live here and now. Do you know what? The biggest deficit in the human condition is love. And we try really hard to love people. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to change the world. We all want to change the world. But our resources are so limited. God pours his love and his power into our lives so that we can live the kind of life that he has called us to. In fact, the same power that lives on the inside of every Christian who is the Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit who lived on the inside of Jesus. And as he laid his hands on the sick were healed. As he opened his mouth, words of grace and mercy came forth. As he loved radically and without any strings attached. And the same kind of ministry that Jesus has is the same ministry we can have because the power that was on the inside of him is now on the inside of us. So the good news is that because Jesus was raised from the death, from death, our past can be forgiven. We have power for the present. But the third reason why the resurrection is such good news is because it gives us hope for the future. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as Adam, in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 54 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? There's a guy called Harry Houdini. Who knows him? He was an escapologist, and he lived at the beginning of the 20th century, and he could escape from anything. So one time they sealed him inside a coffin, and Harry escaped. One time they riveted him inside a boiler, and Harry escaped. One time they put him inside a milk can, made of metal, not a milk carton, that's easier. And Harry escaped. And one time they even locked him inside a maximum security prison, and Harry escaped. But in October 1926, the long hand of death reached over, and the hand was laid on Harry Houdini, and Harry died. Before he died, he said to his wife, "Listen, if there's any way to escape death, I am certainly going to find the way out. And just wait, a year after my death, I'll try and break free even from death." And so his wife left a light burning above a portrait of him for the first year and the second year and the third year. She waited 10 years, and then finally she put the light out, because even Harry Houdini couldn't escape from death. But hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He was the one, he was the first one, he was the only one who escaped from even the power of death. Death didn't even have power over him. Death had no control of him. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death, the last enemy, has been defeated. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, it means that those who follow after Jesus can also experience eternal life. So not only has our past been forgiven, not only do we have power for the present, but we also have hope for the future, that beyond this life, because of the forgiveness of sins, because he comes and fills our life with his presence, that even beyond this life, we have the hope that one day we will see him face to face. Hallelujah. That's good news. Isn't that good news? And it's really interesting when you read some of the accounts of how people responded to this good news that the early apostles talked about. This good news of Jesus being raised from the dead in Acts chapter 17. I think the wrong scripture reference is up here on the screen. Acts 17, 32 to 34. The response was this. It says, when they heard about the resurrection. When people heard this good news about the resurrection of the dead, it said that some sneered. And it might be that you're here today and you're thinking, that is rubbish. If that's you, God bless you and thank you so much for being here today. And some people just never get beyond the point where they just can't believe this stuff. But it goes on to say, but others said, well, we want to hear you again on this subject. So some sneered and some wanted to hear more. And it might be today that you're not sure that this is true, but you want to find out more about this. And you heard a notice a little bit earlier, and inside your update today, there's a flyer about an alpha course that we'll be running, which is an introduction to the Christian faith. And I would love to personally invite you, if you're one of those people who would like to find out more and just explore this Christianity and everything this relationship with God means, then I would love you to come along to that. But then it went on to say in verse 34, some of the people became followers of Paul and they believed. Some sneered, some wanted to find out more, and others believed. And for the sake of those in the room today who have heard this message and seen people worshipping God, and you've been on a journey of some kind leading up to this point, and you're convinced that Jesus is real, but you wouldn't with confidence be able to say today that you're a Christian, that the Lord Jesus is the Lord of your life. If you would like today, on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, to seal the deal, and to ask the Lord Jesus to become the Lord of your life, for the sake of those people today, I'd like to ask everybody just to bow their heads and close their eyes. On the 22nd of May in 1994, I prayed a prayer sitting in the third row back in Corby Baptist Church. And for the previous few months, I had asked every question that I had to ask until I became convinced that I wanted Jesus in my life. And I wanted to follow him with all of my heart. I didn't just want religion. I didn't just want church attendance. I didn't just want singing songs. I didn't just want reading a Bible. I wanted a relationship with God. I wanted my sins to be forgiven. I wanted to know the God who created me as Father. And so I prayed a prayer, and it was simple. And it wasn't the words that saved me, it was my heart leaning into God and my repentance that saved me. And I said to the Lord that day, I'm sorry for my sin. And those things that came to mind in that moment, I just said sorry for. And I said, I don't want to live my life doing these things. I want to live my life for you. And I said, Lord, if you're real, I want you to come into my life. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. I prayed that prayer, and from that moment, everything changed for me. The very next day, I remember this weird sensation, whereas before I'd been quite selfish and self-centered. You know, I'd been thinking more about myself than others. I did care, but I thought more about myself than others. I started to notice people. Kid that was being bullied in our sixth form, I went over to him and I said sorry for being unkind to him, and I sat with him while others were being unkind to him, and I tried to put some things right that I had done wrong, and my heart was changed by God. Religion tries to change you from the outside in by changing your behavior. God, when he comes into your life, changes your heart from the inside out, and nothing will ever be the same again. If you want to pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. Some of you are already Christians, and I would just invite you to pray along just to encourage those who are praying. But pray this out loud with me. Lord, I believe that you are real. I believe that you died and rose again. Please forgive me for my sin. Just take a moment, and if anything comes to mind that's specific, just say sorry, and in your heart, turn away from that. And Lord, I ask you to come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Make my heart new. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And just while everyone's eyes are still closed and heads still bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to be brave and just raise your hand in the air. Just so that I can see, no one else looking around. Praise God. Praise God. After the service, if you would come and find me, I'll be sitting here at the front. I've got something that I'd like to give to you, a little gift. And if I can help just to explain the decision that you've made today a little bit more clearly. Congratulations. And let me just say, when you invite Jesus into your life, you know, you might have got a mortgage, you might have got married, you might have had kids, but this is the most important decision that you will ever make. And I want to congratulate you this morning. And I wonder if we can just congratulate those who have prayed to invite Jesus in. Mark this day on a piece of paper and keep it close in your wallet or in your Bible, and remember the day that you invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Resurrection Sunday 2019. God bless you.